If you thought targeted ads were only happening online, you better turn off your TV. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. By now, if I'm doing my job right, you should kind of get how digital advertising works. Companies collect information about you, like where you live or your age, what you buy online, what websites you visit, and much more. And they use that information to target you with ads that they think you will like, so you will buy their stuff. But you may not know that this is also happening on television. It's called addressable advertising, and it means your cable or satellite TV provider is showing you ads on your TV that your neighbor might not see, depending on who you are and what you're into. Right now, only a small number of the ads you see on television are targeted ads, but it's evolving fast because the money is good.
So the cable companies or satellite companies, so whether you have Comcast or Spectrum or DirecTV, you have a registered account with them. So they have your name, they have your address, your phone number, your email address. They have all these data points. And then they're able to connect those to third-party data providers who might also have data on you. And they do it in an anonymized way, but basically they're able to connect the dots to know roughly like what your household income is, whether you have a car, how old your car is. And in some cases, if you have an internet service bundled with your TV service, they can also track your browsing as well, what websites you visit. If you have a cell phone service that's also connected, they can know where you're going out in the world and be able to take all that information into account to target you with ads on TV.
How much more money can cable companies make? I assume they can charge more, right, for an addressable TV ad than a generic one?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They can charge, you know, about 10 times more for these kinds of ads because they can be somewhat more effective or at least more pinpointed for the advertiser. So if an advertiser is paying $10 for a general ad that'll just run, you know, during the basketball game to everyone who's watching the basketball game, they can alternatively pay, say, $100 to only show it to people in certain markets who have a certain household income and, you know, certain other interest levels. So there's a bit more efficiency or less waste with it, but it's more expensive to do that.
What are the challenges around this technology? Because I could imagine a scenario in which, you know, if there are multiple people in a household, it's just not going to be that accurate. Like, how well does this addressable advertising actually even work?
Yeah, so that's why it's largely at the household level, especially because they don't know if there are multiple people in a household, which of those people is watching a show at any given time. That's why It's things like, is this a household where they're our kids, or is this a household where they own a car? What kind of car is this? Is this a household that rents or buys? How many people are in this household? And then, you know, demographic information too, age, gender of the people living in the household.
Tim Peterson is a senior reporter at Digiday. With addressable ads comes advertisers who want to know if the targeting is working. Last week, STX Films made an ad deal with NBC Universal, and the network actually guaranteed that the ads would sell a certain number of movie tickets. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.